This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The 2016 presidential elections race continues to devolve, with the latest chapter focused on a tussle between Donald Trump and the parents of a fallen soldier who happened to be Muslim. Khizr and Ghazala Khan have suddenly found themselves in the national spotlight after Mr. Khan, with his wife by his side, gave a forceful speech at the Democratic National Convention. The Khans lost their son, Humayun, in the Iraq War in 2004. Responding to Trump's plan to ban Muslims from the U.S., Khan challenged the GOP nominee, saying, "Have you even read the United States Constitution? I will gladly lend you my copy. In this document, look for the words liberty and equal protection of law." Well, Trump shot back, asking to hear from Ghazala Khan, implying that she had been silenced as per stereotypes of Muslims. In response, Mrs. Khan penned an op-ed in the Washington Post saying Trump, quote, knows nothing about true sacrifice. Joining me to comment on all of this is Robert S. McCaw. He is the Director of Government Affairs at the Council on American-Islamic Relations, or CARE, and he was at the DNC and watched the speech live. Welcome to the program, Robert.
Thank you for having me.
Well, before we get into Trump's response, how important was it for you? How did you feel watching and hearing Khizr Khan's, you know, 6-minute speech? It wasn't a very long speech, but as he spoke with his wife by his side, the image of his son Humayun behind them or next to them, and I understand he might have been the only Muslim American to take the stage?
I think maybe Keith Ellison had also the first Muslim congressman took in the stage earlier in the convention. I might be wrong, but either way, CARE applauds the Khan family for sharing their personal story of sacrifice and struggle and what they've done for this nation and their son as well. I was there. It was an absolutely moving speech, and it was important because I think most often, Muslims are otherized in this national election, or any intrinsic value given to us is always through the lens of national security, when really, American Muslims are doctors, they're soldiers, they're engineers, they're policemen, they're teachers, and they're contributors to this nation, and they're a part of our social fabric. And addressing just some of the sacrifices Muslims have made for this country, it's just a reminder to Americans that we are not the other, but we are a part of this nation. And that's a very powerful message. And it's a powerful message of inclusion to have a Muslim on Thursday night on center stage just hours before Clinton takes the stage. And Clinton's campaign, as we've seen in the theme of the DNC, was really inclusion. And we're glad to see Muslims were a part of that story.
I want to play for our audience an excerpt of Khizr Khan's speech at the DNC so that we can really get a sense of what it was that Trump then went kind of nuts responding to. Here is the speech by Khizr Khan. By his side is his wife, Ghazala Khan, and next to them a photo of their son, a soldier who fought in the Iraq War and was killed.
Our son, Humayun, had dreams too of being a military lawyer, but he put those dreams aside. The day he sacrificed his life to save the lives of his fellow soldiers. Hillary Clinton was right when she called my son the best of America. If it was up to Donald Trump, he never would have been in America. Donald Trump consistently smears the character of Muslims. He disrespects other minorities, women, judges, even his own party leadership. He vows to build walls and ban us from this country. Donald Trump, you're asking Americans to trust you with their future. Let me ask you, have you even read the United States Constitution? I will gladly lend you my copy. In this document, look for the words liberty and equal protection of law. Have you ever been to Arlington Cemetery? Go look at the graves of brave patriots who died defending United States of America. You will see all faiths, genders, and ethnicities. You have sacrificed nothing and no one.
And that is Khizr Khan speaking at the Democratic National Convention alongside, with his wife standing by him, a Pakistani-American family who lost their son Humayun in the Iraq War. And Khizr Khan accusing Donald Trump, saying that you have sacrificed nothing and no one. Robert, of course, Trump immediately responded. And one of the things he responded with was, which is sort of a typical Trump response, you know, when he doesn't seem to have an answer, a direct answer to a pretty clear challenge, finds a sort of red herring approach. He implied that Ghazala Khan stood by her husband and didn't speak because that's what Muslims do, that, you know, Muslim women aren't allowed to speak. What do you make of that?
I think that Trump was not able to handle the pressure of a family of a fallen soldier questioning him and his intentions. And if he's not able to handle such pressure, and he perceives it as a vicious attack on him or his character, then he's not ready to make the tough choices as President of the United States and be called account by the families of our nation's soldiers. Again, he's using anti-Muslim stereotypes, he's using sexist stereotypes, and Trump is no defender of women. He himself is chauvinist, he's sexist. Really, he is an anti-woman candidate trying to cast aspersions on the Muslim community. Again, he's religion baiting, he's race baiting, and it's unpresidential.
Right. And let me just actually express what he said. He said, if you look at his wife, she was standing there, she had nothing to say. Maybe she wasn't allowed to have anything to say, you tell me. And these sorts of implications, these sorts of sentences and statements where he sort of implies things without coming out and saying them, would you classify this as standard dog whistle politics, which are often aimed at African Americans, but in this case at Muslim Americans?
I don't even think it's a dog whistle. I just think it's very clear that he's engaging in anti-Muslim bigotry and Islamophobia. And, you know, really, Trump could be filmed live on television drowning a bag of kittens. And if he told his supporter they were Muslim cats, they just might be okay. He's able to get away with a lot more than any candidate could ever get away with. But again, let's look at it. He's attacking Ms. Ghazala Khan for being silent. She wrote in her op-ed that she is still grieving, you know, 8 years later or so, the loss of her son, and that it is too personal of a struggle to really express on stage at such a convention, and that she stood by every word that her husband said, and she was standing there in a morally supporting role, not because she was silenced, but because her pain is too real and something that just Trump lightly trivializes.
And actually, in her op-ed, she said, Trump said, maybe I wasn't allowed to say anything. That's not true. My husband asked me if I wanted to speak, but I told him I could not. And as any mother who's lost a child would understand, that pain never goes away. Now, what do you make of some of the Republican responses to this? John Kasich, governor of Ohio, who's been pretty clear about his feelings against Trump, you know, said that that people should respect the parents of a Gold Star soldier. John McCain came out, of course, a veteran himself who has been in Trump's crosshairs, also said that, that Trump just went too far. Do you think that was enough from the Republican Party?
No, because we saw the House and Senate Republican leadership come out and criticize Trump's attack without actually naming Trump. We see too often Republicans are dancing around Trump's name, but implicitly going after Trump's policies. And that's not enough. We need to hear a direct statement from Reince Priebus, chairman of the RNC, saying that this type of Islamophobia, this type of disrespect of our soldiers is not acceptable within the Republican Party. That's what we need to be hearing from leadership right now.
Now, Robert, one of the other things that came out of the DNC, in addition to Trump, you know, reacting immaturely to the Khan speech, was his general response. He basically said that the day after the DNC, he said he would like to hit DNC speakers who disparaged him. He said, I'd like to hit a number of those speakers so hard their heads would spin, they'd never recover. And then, of course, his PR machine went back and tried to ease that a little bit, saying that this was about a verbal attack rather than physical hitting. Yeah. What does this say about him?
Again, he is going to childish pursuits in this election. He's not able to really handle the pressure of criticism, which is a characteristic of any great leader. And he's just devolving the entire campaign process into either verbal or physical bullying with his aides. And again, it just seems very unpresidential. I'm almost at a loss for words. I mean, how do you describe such behavior that you would scold your own children for?
Now, of course, on the part of the Democrats, it should be made clear that while the Democrats tried very hard to present a unified and inclusive atmosphere, there was a lot of dissension at the DNC itself. A lot of people who were Bernie Sanders delegates very upset, and then, you know, feeling unfairly treated. And I'm wondering what you think of this characterization that came up several times, given Hillary Clinton's hawkishness on foreign policy, the sense that, you know, Republicans attack people of color and Muslims here in the U.S., Democrats attack them outside of the U.S. And we've seen the last 8 years of an Obama presidency being pretty brutal on the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, etc.
I'm sorry, your connection broke up a little bit, but I think I heard you at the end. And really, I have American Muslims coming up to me and saying, I like a lot of the things Hillary Clinton stands for, but she is a supporter of, you know, the U.S. drone program in Yemen or in Pakistan, which really has resulted in the loss of too many civilian lives. And how are these Pakistani or Yemeni Americans able to say, I'm voting for a candidate that might actually end up overseeing policy that would be destructive in my native country? It's a really tough choice for some Muslims. And what we need to do is see Clinton go past her rhetoric of including Muslims here in America in the Democratic Party and actually reflecting our community's concerns, whether that's domestic policy, law enforcement, or foreign policy with, you know, how we're engaging other nations. I think, you know, there's a lot of concern about that in the community. And there was a lot, it was a lot easier for American Muslims to support the Sanders campaign, who right off the bat made sure there were Muslims on stage engaging with Sanders, that he invited Muslim community leaders to chair state campaigns and to also voice their concern in the Democratic National Committee's 2016 party platform. We're waiting to get that type of response from Clinton, and that will be a deciding factor. That said, the majority of Muslims right now, 67% of the community, still vote Democrat. So I'm really interested, and we'll be doing surveys in the coming weeks to see how well Muslims are now accepting the fact that Bernie Sanders is no longer their candidate.
And just on the issue of U.S. foreign policy under Democrats, in mid-July, reports emerged of the U.S. In its airstrikes against Syria, having killed at least 73 civilians. And then just this past week, in late July, another airstrike, 28 civilians in Syria being killed by U.S. airstrikes. So we're seeing that kind of... that aspect of U.S. foreign policy being eclipsed by the election campaign. And I'm wondering, Robert, if you think that the Republicans and Democrats are in a way united in their push for war in countries like Syria. That's the one thing they don't talk about.
You know, I think we would, if we knew there was a terrorist network operating in Paris, France, we would not be sending a drone strike in the suburbs of Paris. Mm. Obviously, there's a moral gap between what we feel like we can do in countries of people that are non-European and how we respond to the losses of lives of these people. And you can just look to see what is the U.S. media's response when there's a mass bombing in Paris versus in, you know, in Ankara or in Iraq. And the coverage is different. And I think that this otherizing of people in Syria, in Iraq, has led to really... There's no repercussions in U.S. policy decisions when it results in civilian deaths. To my understanding, the U.S. has killed in Pakistan, Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, you know, thousands of civilians, and yet we don't actually see, with drone strikes alone, and we do not yet see any type of repercussion for the decisions that led to these actions.
And so finally, then, on that note, Robert, how important a sort of spokesperson or representative of the Muslim American community has Mr. Khizr Khan been, the speaker at the DNC? You know, even if you are a pacifist who doesn't believe in war versus a person like Khizr Khan, who's clearly someone who identifies as patriotic in the traditional sense of the word, how important is he as a representative in a high-profile way of America's Muslim community?
He and his wife are extremely important because they represent the sacrifices that American Muslims have made and have been making for generations in this country, and that they humanize the community in a way that no other press release can. They have a very personal story that really touches the heart of every American, regardless of their race or their religion. And honestly, I think as a country, we can definitely criticize the decisions of our political leaders when it comes to war, while still being able to respect the sacrifices and services of our troops.
Robert, thank you so much for joining us today. Would you like to give out CARE's website where people might be able to find more information?
Yeah, for more information, they can go to cair.com. And you can also go to our website, Islamophobia.org, and there you can get profiles on both Trump and Clinton and what they've said in this election about Muslims and Islam.
And that's care.com and Islamophobia.org. Robert, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Robert McCoy is Director of Government Affairs at the Council on American Islamic Relations. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.